Hi, this is Dr. Kimberly Leonard, author of Visualizing Happiness in Every Area of Your Life and host of this podcast, Incredible Life Creator. And today, my guest is Dr. Rebecca Louise Smith. Hey, Rebecca.
Hi, how are you?
I am great. And this is the second time you have been on my podcast. And so we will tell briefly about your history on this one, but if people want to hear the whole story, then go back and listen to the other one we did about a year or two ago. So,
Sounds good.
but I was, I'm hardly on social media, but when I do get on it, every time I look at my Facebook page, Rebecca Smith, her clients won this award and this award. Every time I see it, there's another award being won. So I'd like to talk about that winning attitude mindset today. Yes, but before we do, I want to go ahead and read your brief bio so people kind of know who you are and what you're winning at.
Thank you. That sounds
Yes.
great.
So Dr. Rebecca Louisa Smith, the film festival doctor, was born in Worcester, United Kingdom. From humble beginnings, working as a personal assistant at lots of corporate companies, she worked her way up to become an award-winning consultant and media personality who now has more than 10 years of film festival strategy consulting experience. After choosing not to pursue a career in academia teaching film studies, Rebecca began her film industry career in 2009, working as one of the producers of Wales' most successful national horror film festival, the Abertawe Horror Festival. And during that time began to develop a great knowledge of the film festival business, which led her to become inspired to start her own innovative company in an industry she loved. Rebecca and the hardworking team behind her company, the Film Festival Doctor, are creators of success and are committed to nurturing filmmakers in order to help them secure film festival screenings, win awards, and a positive recognition within the film industry. Currently, her company has won more than 1,500 awards for their clients and one Oscar nomination. Her team has supported over 850 creatives across the world, enlightening and inspiring their journey towards achieving their goals and following their filmmaking dreams. One of the factors which has led to her success is the blending of both practical business skills and spiritual techniques that infused new life into her company's growth. She decided to record her hard-won knowledge in her new book, Born to Do It, Becoming the Leader of a Business Niche Using Powerful Spiritual Techniques to help others who are pondering the leap into entrepreneurship or are already on the journey but yearning for more success and profitability. Rebecca has been featured in Forbes, Good Housekeeping, Variety, Letters, Parade, Screen Daily, The Sun in the Mirror, and her profile continues to grow. She is based in Dallas, Texas, and loves continuing to support filmmakers all over the world. So, we want to talk about this and all these awards. And I think, in order for a team, a company, a person to continue to win over and over and over, there's certain mindsets, there's certain strategies, there's certain things that allow you to continue to do that. So I'd like to start just at the very base with mindset and attitude. What
Yes.
do we need to be winning?
The key thing is letting go. So it's having absolutely no expectation or holding on to a desired outcome which you want to control. And that's quite hard to do, especially if it's like when you're a filmmaker and it's a passion project that you spend years and loads of money on, that becomes a different level. And it's hard to say it as a product. So it's really important to let go of what you think is right and where it should win, what it should do. And instead, just let it go and then see what else comes in. Probably could more likely be better and then get the best you can from it. So that's the key thing. And in the meantime, you just remain hopeful and positive. Not just thinking positively is one thing and doing your vision board is important. All those things count, but it's remaining hopeful and believing in yourself and your film.
Yes. So, are there things that you do personally to keep yourself in that state of mind?
Yes. So I check in with my body a lot now because when we spoke, when we first met, I was in Mexico and I was living there unexpectedly for 7 months because I had issues with my US visa. And that was down to poor legal advice. And my body changed. After that incident I had in LAX Airport that was really traumatic, my body changed. And it changed in a way where I had to listen to it more. I couldn't do as much with it. And it was still in like trauma mode for even to this day. I have to look at it differently. There's a whole massive change to it. But I didn't expect, so I went to my vagus nerve. So I tune in with the body. And then if it's feeling tired, can't push myself or overexert myself. If it's feeling good, then I can carry on and do what I need to do. So isn't the body first? And then I can do my day. And the way that I normally structure my day is based upon my body and brain working together. And I'm the most productive, I'm the most hands-on in the mornings. The mornings is where the magic happens. I'm alert, I'm sharp. Afternoons, I want to just take a bit of a time out, take a bit of a chill, you know, and go for my walk, get some exercise, and come back a bit more refreshed. But also in that during that time, I do what I said earlier, and you know, I have all these films I work on. I have clients who want specific type of results and specific ways for it to go, but it doesn't always work out that way. It's always for the better, so I have to just remember to let that go, and just think of the positive and that something else will come through that'll be the right thing. So it's sort of taking away all their kind of pressure and worry, and just focusing on the film and the festivals.
And when you say let go and be open to something else coming in, are you talking about if you have a plan and then your plan somehow is going sideways or isn't working, just to be open to go in a different direction? Is that what you're talking about?
It's more in this context with films, it's being open to other kinds of festivals and what opportunities they can give to the filmmaker. So the strategy that I create for my clients is always pretty solid. It's got good infrastructure. It's got different layers to it, layers being different types of festivals we could submit to, different types of approaches. You know, it has that depth to it. But it's like, you know, we have other festivals we've sent it to. I know you might want this one particular festival, but you know, let's look at the other festivals that come in and what else would come up for you. You know, it doesn't all it's not the be all end all get into one particular one that you want to get to. Like Sundance is amazing, but there's other festivals that are great, you know, just as good as Sundance that you might not have heard of, but it can still help you achieve your goals and maybe even do more for you. So I always say whenever I do a strategy, there's always a reason why it ends up being that way. And that's because it's giving the best for the filmmaker. And that happens because sometimes when they go to festivals with no expectation and like, you know, we wanted to be somewhere else, they realize how much they got from those festivals and how much more job opportunities they got created and how many more connections they made. So it's a real important stepping stone for their careers, no matter where they are, whether they're just starting out or established.
And when you're working with your clients, do you work with them on mindset at all, or attitude, or just how to be?
I'm doing it a lot more now. I've noticed over the past couple of years, that's what my new book came about, was it was actually a massive thing, the mental health and positivity and, you know, spirituality. The mental health was the biggest one because there would be filmmakers who would get so attached because they have this need that they have to be validated by a certain festival. You know, they have to show people that they're worthy because they've gone to this festival or won this award or did this, that, and the other. They have that attachment, they have that kind of desperation, and it can affect them mentally without them knowing, you know. So we had a filmmaker this morning, in fact, who's won quite a few awards for her film. It's her first film, and she's got into several festivals which are what we call BIFA qualified, the British Independent Film Awards qualified, and that's a big thing, the BIFAs. And she said, oh, I've had a couple of rejections and I can't cope anymore. I can't cope with rejection anymore. I must get a BIFA nomination. But you can't attach yourself to that and expect that by getting that, you'll feel better. But heal what's underneath there instead, and that's insecurities. Look how far you've come. You've got, what, 10 festivals, 4 awards. That's incredible. And you have to, you know, look back at that and look at that. You achieved that. No one else did. It's your film. You achieved that because she wants something bigger to validate you is something you need to look into with a therapist, but also use other techniques to calm the mind and this pressure you put yourself under. The film industry has a lot of pressure around it. People are always wanting the same goals and dreams, striving to get to the top. You know, it's a very kind of, it's crowded, but also everyone's got very similar goals. And that's not always good because people then get over competitive and it can bring out the worst, and it goes right down to mental health.
Yeah, so you said some really key things that I think we can spread across any population, and that's don't get attached to the outcome, and also don't expect an outcome to make you happy.
Exactly.
Because
Yes.
a lot of times it's the journey that actually gives us the happiness, the process,
Yeah.
the going
Yeah.
through it, the living, the ups and downs, the things that we think, oh, that was really tough. Those are the things we look back at and either are thankful for or we even laugh about. You know, think about tragic things that sometimes happen to us. And later, 10 years later, we look back and go, oh, that was funny, but it wasn't funny at the time.
Yeah. At the
It
time, it didn't feel funny, ha ha. It felt the opposite.
felt the opposite. It felt the opposite. And also, just to expect, you know, anything to give us that fulfillment or that happiness, because we just have to have that happiness within ourselves, regardless of whether we're, you know, winning awards or not winning awards, and using it as a learning experience, because we can learn so much.
Exactly. No, exactly. You're right about those two points. Because you have, I mean, attachment is a big thing, especially with film, because people are, you know, you can tell the when you go to LA, the energy in LA, it obviously being in my industry in film, it is crazy because people are, it's like, where's my next project? You can feel the energy of, you know, I've got to keep working to get to the top, I've got to do this. It's never relaxing. And I see it all the time with filmmakers. And it's sad because it's a very narrow vision, and it's important to be more open because, like you said, with the journey, when you're at a film festival, that's where the magic happens. Not just at the award ceremony if you win. I mean, that's always a bonus, but in between is where the magic takes place. Like, for example, when I went to the Arizona Film Festival, which is the Phoenix Film Festival, I had a great time there, excuse me, I had a great time there. But it was during the time I was there where I met new people and new friends, new guy to date was the best part because it was unexpected. I was, you know, going on a work trip and I meet actually people who become friends, lifelong friends. They recommend me to other people that have great projects. Not so much the last day of the award ceremony. I mean, that's like that's great, but it's not the only thing to go there for. So yeah, it's exciting. It's exciting. So.
Exactly. And if you ever gone to some place, like I've done this with trainings or events, and you go with an intention, one intention, and when you get there, like you said, you meet people you didn't think you'd meet. You have an experience you didn't think you never thought in this ever world you would ever have. So you go in with one expectation, but you come out with so much more.
Yeah, exactly. All the time. All the time. Because sometimes I can be like, you know, I'm focused on a client and what they want and got to, you know, help the client out, etc. But then I can like think, so what do I want for myself when I go to these events for my brand and my business? You know, it's like not because all this time spent with the client, that's important. It's like, oh, let me fit myself in too. And then when I get to the festival, every time something will happen, someone will like, oh no, I know of you did this, or can you look at this film and it turns out to be a great movie? All this kind of thing is interesting. So it happens like pretty much every day. And when I'm at a festival, you know, I think I'm going to go in for this, you know, I'm here for this film, I'm going to do this for that film and this that, and the other. But it's like, oh, something else comes up that you just don't realize or think about until you're there, or an idea comes up. We get creative ideas come up, and that's through being positive and really in the flow of things. And you get this idea for this and the other, and it germinates into your new book or your new film.
Exactly. It just opens up our possibilities, or opens up
Yeah.
our eyes to what's out there that we weren't aware of was out there until now.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's opening the eyes is a really good thing. You're like, oh, this could be it. And you make the note and you're like, no, this makes sense.
Exactly. I have a friend that he's from California. I'm from Georgia. But sometimes when we get together, we'll meet in Las Vegas because it's just an easy place to meet. And whenever we're going walking on the street, he'd say, "Let's meet strangers." He liked to let's go talk to some strangers. You know how growing up, your parents say, "Don't talk to strangers."
Yeah, like you shouldn't do that. You should
He's
just speak to your own people.
but he was just the opposite. It doesn't matter if we were in a hotel, we talked to the cleaning people. If we were, it didn't matter where we were, we'd always make sure we were talking to the strangers who were in our sphere of environment at the moment. And we met some very interesting people that way.
Yeah, I bet. No, it's true because he's being open to new possibilities. He's not like, oh, I should just stick in the bubble, because the bubble can be small, and that's when you don't break out of it. It's important to be, say, like go to other areas and different groups and different people, and like have a chat. And then who these people could be, could be lifelong friends or whoever they might be. You don't know until you ask. But it's also feeling safe in that space, because you're going outside the safe bubble, feeling safe. Like, if I talk to this person, they're not gonna shoot me down or anything bad. It'll be just an experience and part of the journey, the process.
Exactly. And I've heard people say this, it's that all the excitement is in the unknown, but until you
Yes.
step into the unknown, you don't get that excitement. You don't know what you're missing until you step into it.
Exactly. No, exactly. That's spot on. That is so true. Because it's like, when I was going to Mexico, because how I ended up in Mexico was quite interesting, as I wasn't going to be there for that long. But this is back in the COVID pandemic days. So because the UK was a banned country and you couldn't fly into the US directly, you had to go and do your quarantine in a country that wasn't, and the closest one to UK was Mexico. You'd be there for 2 weeks and you'd fly in. So I was going to be in Mexico for just 2 weeks, and I had to go through so much change in myself to actually get to Mexico, because I haven't been there before, so it was brand new, uncharted waters. It was Mexico City, and I didn't know, it's capital city. I had no idea what to expect. I did my research where I could. But I had no idea. It was just nobody I knew and where to go. And it was just this massive thing to like get there, but also like leave the UK, do that 2 week quarantine, and then go. So it was a big thing, as I was like in two minds. But I thought, you know what? If I carry on, this pandemic stuff, we're going to get even worse, because it was like changing every day the rules, and other countries weren't doing the same things as the UK. So it just got tedious. And I was like, I've got to change something here. I've got to go and do it. And I'm going to be safe because I've got the universe protecting me, and I'll be fine. So I did it. And it was a really good step to take, because I actually found out when I got there how much I love Mexico and Mexico City. I just was like, this place is incredible. So I wouldn't have known that if I'd have just stayed in the bubble in the UK, and branched out, And I was ended up being there in like almost 7 months or 8 months. And it was like, I'm happy there for the time. I wanted to be here in the US, but. I felt safe there, and it was in my, well, not bubbles, in my areas of Mexico City that you stay in, where and I met people and they were trustworthy, so it was safe.
That's wonderful. So, I think you're a good example of following your bliss. So you had your background in film. You could have went into academia, but instead you created your own company. So tell me a little bit about how that happened.
Yeah, so that was one of those things, amazing things by accident. So I was studying my PhD in Wales, in Aberystwyth in the UK, wet and windy Wales, as they call it, very pretty. And I thought what I wanted to do was work in the world of academia. But I realized it wasn't, because this is someone told me that I should do academia because I'd be good at it, and I need to keep on researching. My area of expertise was Quentin Tarantino, and looking at emotional response to his films. So I said, oh, yeah, I'm interested in it. I have a passion for it too. Maybe it's what I should do. I'll just follow the lead. So I went and moved all the way to Aberystwyth. That was from, that was quite far, because that was another part of Wales. And I was living in, at the time, in the UK, in Worcestershire. So I did that leap. And it was quite a different league, because it's a very small town, coastal town. But again, you adapt and get used to it, so it all worked out fine. But I got to the point where I was studying, when I was doing the PhD, it was very I find it very isolating, and it is very solitary, very isolating because of research and work, and it is a bit, one-to-one to someone else. You're not in a class. So community was important. But then a friend of mine who I used to see a lot in Worcester, where I was born, he had moved and was the manager for a theatre. And he said, "I've been asked to put on a horror film festival. Do you want to help out?" And I was like, "You know what? That would be great because it's going a bit mad here in my room with research. I need a bit something else than that." And he was like, "This will be perfect." So I then began working with him and the team. And I realized that this hobby was actually my sole purpose and my life purpose. And I was like, "You know what? I really love this world of film festivals." And that's where I found the gap in the market. When I was speaking to filmmakers at the festival, I always asked them what they liked and disliked about film festivals. And they all said the same thing. They all said, "We love festivals. These are great events to network, to get our film seen, win awards, have fun, celebrate all this hard work. But we don't know what we're doing. We don't know how to get our films into festivals. We're just hoping for the best online and submit and see what happens." Bit of a crapshoot, really, and just seeing, hope for the best. I talked to somebody to help me with this. I was like, "Oh, there's a business here, and I think I can do this because I'm getting knowledge, understanding how festivals work." And I was the one who was always going to festivals on behalf of the team, finding films for the festival. That was my job, so I was always making connections. I was like, "I want to give this a go because I feel like I can do it." So we researched, and there was a gap in the market. There wasn't many people doing it. It's like at the time, there was one who I found online on Google, because obviously by that day, Pinterest, Instagram were not as popular as they are now, or used in the same way for businesses. Facebook and LinkedIn were very different back in 2009. And the idea came in 2010. We launched it on my birthday, and then it was all from there. I knew what my vision was, I knew what I wanted, but I knew that academia was not going to be a full-time thing. That finished very quickly when the PhD was completed.
So when you started out, you said you were making connections, like when you were finding these film festivals. How did
Yeah.
you know, this is the question so many startup businesses ask. How do I get my very first client?
Yeah. Well, it was interesting because I did it a different way. So I was in Wales, and Wales is a very small part of the world, and the UK especially. And the film industry is not particularly big there. It's very small. I don't really have many connections apart from, those people that I met at the festival, and obviously I knew Gaz, who was the guy that ran and was the director of the Avatar Horror Festival. So I didn't know many people. So I knew I had to move to where the film hub was in the UK. That was London. London is like New York and LA for film industry. That's where it all happens, where the headquarters is. So I had to do that big move, but I was ready to go. It was had no hesitation. I wasn't scared. I have to go now to build, get this business off the ground. So I got the clients when I moved there through networking. And I went to every single networking event known to man. I showed up, did my thing, and then, showed confidence I could help the filmmaker. It was exhausting, but it was then building up trust. And I also had to work for free in the beginning for a little bit to prove this would work, because no one else was really doing this. People were like, "What's that?" And it was having to show that this model would work, to build up trust. And I wanted it in my business plan. I wrote this business plan on a napkin, actually, once when we were in a restaurant. But I wrote this business plan, put it together, and I said that I want this service to be essential, and not seen as a luxury service, but an essential part of the film distribution plan for a filmmaker. They have to have by their side a film festival strategist, that being obviously me, but it becomes an integral and compulsory part of a distribution plan, and not an afterthought, and not like we do it ourselves, or just something that they see as being like, with not within reach, but something that would be, educate people in it. And since then, it has, more or less, many years later, it has. So I'm proud that I was one of the first people to do it, and I'm glad that I keep every day building it up, the brand, striving to keep getting it to where it needs to be, and to help my filmmakers on their journeys.
So, what specifically does a film strategist do?
So my job is to help filmmakers get their film seen in festivals. People come to me with a problem, that being, "I made my film, I don't know what to do with it. What festivals do I submit to? Where, when, how? What are the right festivals for my film? This is a very specific job, and it's not a kind of thing where you just do a general kind of approach and just throw it everywhere. It needs to be very strategic and targeted to the goals of the filmmaker and also the strength of the film. There's a lot of stuff that goes into creating a strategy, because you have to think outside the box. You have to think what kind of festivals are going to want this film and where best to place it and where it fits on a very overcrowded market.
Yes, I mean, it's like anything in Hollywood or
Yeah.
film, there's just so much competition. I mean,
Yes.
I don't know how many films are coming out every year, but a lot of them, not just major films, but I mean, even the, what do they call them, the indie films, the
Yep.
homegrown
Absolutely.
films.
Absolutely. There is a lot. I mean, in LA, it feels when you're in LA, not so much New York, I'll be honest, but in LA, you can just feel like everybody you meet, you sit down, there's a waiter who'll be an actor. And there's someone else who's in the corner as a director. It's film, it's probably too much industry, and that's what some people don't quite like or can take so much in that context, because it's just a lot of industry all in one place. I mean, some people like it because, you know, it doesn't always affect them, but you don't see many people in LA who are not in the film industry. You know, when you do go to those places where they're not, it's few and far between. So, well, someone's going to be in the film industry. And here in, I'm in Dallas, and it's a bit different, so it's quite nice because you can have the best of both worlds. I mean, there is an industry here, and it's smaller, but it's nice because it's intimate, and you just then, you know, go with the flow and help where you can. But also, you can break away and do something else because not everybody is in that industry here, so it's quite nice to have that variety.
Yeah. And I'm actually curious because I'm in Georgia and I know there's a lot of filmmaking happening
Yes.
in Atlanta now.
Yes. Atlanta is
Will make
like
it
the
in
next LA.
Atlanta? Or do they
Yeah.
have to go to Hollywood to make it, or can they make it over here in Atlanta?
They can make it in Atlanta. I've got clients of mine who've moved there because it's a real good scene. It's thriving over there. A lot of people film in Atlanta, Georgia, because of different kind of, you know, tax breaks, and it's cheaper than LA. So there's a lot of good stuff happening there. And it's certainly, you know, a good place for shooting. There's some really good film festivals then. There's the Oscar qualifying Atlanta Film Festival that everyone loves to go to for the industry. There's loads of other great festivals there. There's ones which are run by the film festival, Life, it's called. And no, sorry, the film festival circuit. And there's a really good company, and they have quite a few festivals in Atlanta, which are excellent, and they're all about networking and pitching your next film. It's really, really good. Pitch Fest, it's cool. Yeah.
Yeah, because when I kind of compare in my mind just the mindset of people in Los Angeles and people in Atlanta, you know, here we're kind of laid back, friendly, just, you know, even if we're in competition, we're still kind of chilling and talking and, you know, not so serious. We're serious, but it doesn't appear that way.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I know exactly what you mean. It's different energy. It's very different energy, which is more that's more like a welcoming one, you know, as you say. So yeah, that's what filmmakers like, is it's a refreshing change.
Exactly. So now you wrote this book. Who did you write this book for? Why did you write the book?
So this book of mine, which I'll show you, is it's an ebook, so it's just the front cover. There it is. There we go. I wrote it for filmmakers, and what I've done is creatively fused two areas together to make a very informative book for filmmakers. So, as I mentioned previously, I noticed more and more, maybe when the festival got more crowded, maybe like 2016, 2017, I noticed more and more that filmmakers were having difficulty, and they were struggling mentally coping with festival rejections, coping with, you know, their plans going a different way than what they expected, and not being able to understand the why, and just feeling lost. So I noticed that there was a big thing surrounding mental health here. And another gap in the market I found too, this is like recently, but you always see a lot of, you know, there's not loads of them, but a lot of people who write about film festivals, festival strategy, we're talking about how you get your film in. I mean, all filmmakers want to know, that question, how do I get my film to festivals, the Oscar qualified ones, I just want to get it seen. They tend to forget the mental health aspect and what that means for them. All this literature is about how you get into festivals, what festivals are looking for, how to submit, and it's all about that process. It doesn't tell you, excuse me, I'm a hiccups almost. It doesn't tell you how to look after yourself during this cutthroat process that will shake you up and spit you out, because that's how it is. It's ruthless. They never tell you how ruthless it actually is, what goes on behind the scenes, and how to prepare yourself mentally. And that's a big missing chunk. So in this book, it all came about when I saw one filmmaker really hit rock bottom. So a client of mine, I started to work with a few years ago. I said, right, the film isn't going to be for these top tier Sundance and Cannes level. There's certainly a market for it for more niche festivals that are focused upon Asian filmmakers, Black filmmakers that are Black cast, short film festivals that are smaller but up and coming, to help you on the stepping stone with your journey and your career in filmmaking. And he was like, okay. And he said, oh, I've got some more investment from the investors. I was like, good, well, we can do the submissions then. And he said, oh, I'm going to submit to the ones I want to submit as well. I'm like, well, hang on. These are ones that are going to be out of your depth. They're going to be no's. They're a lot of money. And my job is to save you money and not waste it on the wrong kind of festivals. So why would you want to spend all like thousands on something like Atlanta Film Festival and New Orleans Film Festival, Hawaii Festival, which won't even show films because they just focus on films about indigenous culture? Why would you want to do that? And he went, well, you never know. There could be one. I said, well, please prepare yourself for rejection. A lot of them coming in. I focus on the good things that were coming from the ones that I suggested. He went, yeah. And then he would text me almost every other day. And he said, I'm not going to this festival, not to that festival. I went, well, we knew that, so it's no big surprise. And then it got to the point where he'd be checking every single day his account where you submit your films to festivals called filmfreeway.com. And he'd be checking it like crazy amount of time. And I'd be looking at him going like, you need to let go of this. I've told you it's going to be a no from all these festivals that you're hoping for. I think it's best now you go through the process of acceptance. It's not going to be what you're thinking it's going to be, but it's other stuff that come in that could be really good for you. And he refused to accept it to the point where we had to lock him out of his account. And then he came back and said, I've had a breakdown because I realized I had to get into one of those festivals to prove my worth to my dad. I thought, wow. And I saw him crumble. And he had all this pressure on him that, his dad would not let him fail. His dad would expect the highest of the highest because of, all these childhood things that come up. So a lot of those things come out, and festivals aren't the cause, they're just triggering it. Of how people go about it. Not all people are like him, obviously, but it can happen to quite a few, especially if the emotions come involved. These are things I noticed. I started writing a blog about how to respond to a rejection letter, and to look at the reasons why people get re rejection. Then it's not if because they just don't like the film. It's many other reasons besides that normally, and nowadays because there's so many films that get submitted. And give help and a toolbox to give them the right kind of direction to cope with this cutthroat, brutal process. And I've seen it more than once than just this guy. I had one client of mine, lovely girl. She said, oh, no, rejection is part of the process. So don't take it personally. Read the Four Agreements book. Don't take it personally. There's many other reasons why it's a no. And she went, I'm an actress. 10,000 no's, one yes. It's fine. Good. And then she says, Rebecca, I've had four rejections and one yes. The fourth rejection, I almost killed myself. Aren't you? Sorry. And she said, this is harder than being an actress. This is my passion project. I said, that's why. Because you're attached emotionally. When you do your audition, it's just like a 5-minute scene. You have no idea what else to, what else is attached to it. It's not, you didn't write it, you didn't produce it. This is your baby. It's like someone's killing your baby. And that film was about a child. So I was like, I know it's literal here, but it's a product. And you have to manage your emotions effectively. And she said, oh, it really helped reading the book. Because now I've got other tools I can use when I go to my next one and prepare myself better for the journey. But I mean, I was like, well, 10,000 no's as being an actress and four no's and one yes, and you can't always cope. There you go. So it became like an, I said, this is going to be essential, I thought to myself. Because, filmmakers can be, not all of them, but a lot of them can be, it's about their end goal, leveling up and missing the emotions and missing the, looking after your mental health and looking after yourself during a process that, takes no prisoners. It's harder than what it looks. So I was like, this book is there just to help them, point them in the right direction. So I'm not like a qualified, EMDR therapist or CBT therapist, obviously, but I've seen it happen. I've given them techniques and remedies to help them. And this is my audience. So I want to write this book as a little stepping stone for them to put them in the right direction and to find, read the right books, use the right techniques to become healthier and happier during this long process of festival submissions and festival screenings.
And I haven't gotten to read your book yet, but I'm thinking those processes you're talking about, those techniques, they could help anyone because all of us have times when we're rejected or when there's, things that are our project that are rejected. I mean, I think about entrepreneurs, who won't delegate. They won't delegate because it's their baby and they don't want anything to go wrong, but they're shooting themselves in the foot when they don't delegate.
That's spot on. You're right. Because entrepreneurs can be like with filmmakers, they're very entrepreneurial, they're very creative. But some of them will not delegate. And, I said, oh, one of the things I say to my clients is, build up a good team around you who can, sort out the festival screening materials. That's a bit of a faff, doing submissions too when you're busy doing other things. Someone else can do that. Just trust them to do it and it'll be fine. But some of them will not be like, this is my baby. I have to do it all. It's, I want it this way and this certain vision. Vision's fine. But then if you're not going to, delegate and let someone else help you and build up a support team, you're going to be on your own. It got lonely and it can get really debilitating.
Well, I'm really enjoying our conversation.
Me
And
too.
thank you for writing the book. And I know that's going to help a lot of people in your industry and then in other industries also.
Yeah, that's a
So,
good point you say that because obviously focused on my clientele being filmmakers, but you're right. I didn't think of that. Is that we get rejection in other forms of our businesses, other industries. It's a big thing. I think it's part of any process. It's always how we respond. And in the book, it introduces the reader, whether it be a filmmaker or not, to more. Obviously, recommended reading about the topics I discussed. We look into vision boards, emotional freedom technique, and meditation. There's also in there interviews with filmmakers sharing the festival journeys and giving tips and advice to filmmakers as to what to expect. And going really, one of them goes really raw and in depth and shows how the process of, not getting the ones they wanted, but then realizing when they went to the festivals how much more they learn and become a better filmmaker.
Exactly. It reminds me of the prayer that I say. When I'm praying and I say, God, this is what I want or something better. Because
Yeah.
you know what? A lot of times there's something a lot better, but it's just not in our sight. It's not even in our awareness, not in our psyche in any form, but there's something so
Yeah.
much better out there for us if we're
Yeah.
willing to be open to it.
Exactly. No, exactly. It is. It's willing and being open and also engaging with what the opportunity could be and not dismissing it like, no. It's like, okay, well, when I get like emails coming for meetings and I think, well, was it really worth it with this person? Because sometimes you're like, is it? It's a bit of an of like a long shot. You don't know who they know. It's like the La La Land film. That's someone in the crowd. There could be one person. And I've never seen that film, it changes their life. There could be one person that could change that person's life and like give them that audition, give them that script, give them that film, that festival, whatever it might be in that context. But you don't know. And if you write it up, it's like not going to be much here. You just don't know. Like we went, there was this one networking event I went to and I was like, this is going to be a long shot for filmmakers here. I know it's a mixed bag, but it could be not the best quality. But then a friend of mine was with me and she's always fun. So I thought, well, I'll go with her because we can have a laugh. And that night they were doing these presentations about what they do with their business. It's a woman's, like, it was a women's business event, and these women were doing like presentations on their business. And there were all kinds of industries. And that woman I met that night became my business consultant and still is now, like 10 years later. I
Oh,
did
wow.
not expect that at all. And I saw it and I was like, that is a good presentation. That woman knows how to talk properly and know what she's doing and she's clear. I was like, I think I need some help with my business with her because I'm just starting out. And I was like, she knows how to just fix. I mean, this, you know, not all the stuff I've done at that time of business with has a very good infrastructure. It was organized, but it wasn't in with using the right kind of systems. And she talked about them, and I was like, I get a number. And then we now work together, even now, you know, still now, I still speak to her now. And that was me just at the beginning. I was like, I'm going to stay in, you know, like, let's just hang out here and just, you know, stay in. And she was like, no, we have to go. It'd be fun because my friend wanted to promote her bags and get pictures, etc., which you have to do with that kind of thing. So I was like, okay, we'll do that. But then I was like, wow, this actually is useful. And I did meet somebody there who had a film. So, and I was going to write it off like, oh, it's not going to be, it's too broad. It's not going to be that specific. Almost did. And I was like, all right, well, we never know. So now I have that open mind where every time someone approaches me or wants to meet or whatever, I always think, you know what? It's always worth talking to somebody because, you know, when you put your brand out there and you help them, you never know. So I just do that. I take that leap of faith and like, you know, let's dive in and see what happens.
So if people wanted to connect with you, hire you, get your book, where do they find those things?
The best would be my website, thefilmfestivaldoctor.com, and also Instagram, which is at Rebecca Film Doctor, which is REBEKAHFILMDR. That's the best one to get me on.
Okay, beautiful.
Thank you.
So thank you for being on the podcast. I'm just going to ask you one more question. Any other last advice before we finish here on how to live an incredible life, on your book, on just living life?
Never give up on your dreams. When you think you've been battered or torn down or it's not working for you, find another route, find another approach to get to that job or get to that goal which you know you're really good at, and then you'll get the right direction. Sometimes it's just needing just to carry on with the journey, just maybe just take a detour and it's a different kind of road than going straight. And it's the fun zigzags where loads more things happen. So never give up, stay firm, stay grounded, stay strong, and never give up on your belief and your self-worth. If you know you're good at doing something, you'll find the right route. Ask the universe to provide you with the person, place, or thing for that key to unlock it.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Rebecca.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you again soon.
Bye.